everybody. You hear the music. It is that time from the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, our Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. And in the studio today, we have got Berkshire Ben Olson, and we'll be talking with him right after this.
Look, if you want that home, let's go get you that home. And it's okay to feel a little nervous. Or to not know what to look for. Because our network agents have the expertise to take the scary out of buying a home. Well, most of it. Now, let's go get you home.
All right, we are back, and we are back with Berkshire Ben Olson. How are you, man? It's been a couple of weeks.
It's been pretty good so far. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Do you have big plans for the holiday weekend?
Of course, just a lot of projects, tons, different real estate projects, things like that.
So. Yeah, it gets to the point where you don't even like long holiday weekends because it seems like all a guy does is work.
Yep, I'm planning to work in the morning, especially on Memorial Day, work in the morning, and then do the fun stuff in the afternoon, same with Sunday. And then Friday, Saturday, I got a few big projects. Projects lined up, but going to be doing some landscaping out at my mom's house and getting that all fixed up. So, yeah.
Are you going to have to work Monday, or are you going to keep working on your mom's?
I'm going to keep working. I'm actually going to be probably down at the lake on Monday. I'm doing some work down there, so that'll be fun. And then, of course, going on the boat and enjoying the warm weather if there is any.
You know, that's a sore spot for me right now.
Really?
My boat's at the shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boats and rock piles do not mix.
My sister just purchased a new boat, so she's excited about that. We're all kind of excited to go out there and enjoy that. So.
Well, good, good.
Yep.
One thing I want to talk about, you know, we hear the word trends and trendy a lot. Is real estate trendy? I mean, are there new trends?
Yep, absolutely. So it's super funny to see all the different areas of real estate that it's grown into. You know, where people can live, where people can work is a big deal nowadays. Lots of people working from home, and they're realizing that, you know, living in an expensive $2,000 apartment maybe isn't worth it when they could be living cheaper in some other way. And so there are just so many different areas of real estate that people can look at that they can actually build equity, save money. You know, obviously one of the best parts about real estate is being able to use it as an investment. It's like a savings account, or it's a way that you can get ahead in life, basically, and financially, which is important.
Sure. Have you ever seen that show called You Live in What?
Yes. Yes.
I've actually seen, lived in an old chicken barn.
Yes.
I've seen a brewery. I've seen a windmill. Or a flour mill, and I've actually seen where a guy fixed up a dumpster and lived in a dumpster. But I get where you're coming from. I mean, now the new thing, you see this, good friends of mine I just talked to, bought one of those tiny homes. They're having it made for them, and they're going to actually use it as a lake place.
Yep. So tiny homes are really big right now. Those are technically either classified as mobile homes or basically trailers.
Yep.
Legally standing, so they're not really real estate, but they are a way for people to save money and take advantage of vacant lake property or anything like that. So, you know, let's say you have a vacant lot somewhere and you wanted a place where you can either go hunting or fishing or be at the lake, but you don't want to have the construction costs of pouring a foundation, doing all of it. The really expensive way, you can get one of these tiny homes that is basically like a small home all in one. And it just has been really expanding the ability for people to buy and sell real estate, especially land, because people can take advantage of the land without having to invest a huge amount of money in a piece of property.
Sure. Another thing I have noticed now, I guess we would call this trendy. You go around the lake, especially up at Lake of the Woods. I was up there last year, and you see now these people, because they have to have a place to store their boat. They have to have a place to store their winter toys and their fish houses and all that. Now people, and this I think is a new trend, are building big shops with living quarters in them.
Right.
I mean, they don't look like your typical lake cabin, that's for sure.
No, and those are typically, some people call them barndominiums or garage condos, or they call them, the other one is a schouse.
Schouse.
A schouse.
You live in a house.
You live in a schouse. Yeah, so that's one of the really interesting things that people are doing now too is, you know, they're identifying either a piece of property that could be zoned in that way, and then they're taking advantage of those type of building materials, because in a shop house type of situation, you have the exterior walls that are all the supports, and then on the inside, you can kind of design it however you want. So that's going to become a lot more popular, I think, in the next decade or so, is kind of using more of those industrial building materials. And I think it's a great thing, honestly. Mm-hmm. When we talk about these alternative types of housing, I don't discourage it at all, because it encourages people to invest in something that's real and physical and that they own.
Absolutely.
Right? We've talked about it before. If you own stock in Apple, you can't go to the Apple store and stand in the corner of the Apple store and claim that that's your spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works.
It's sure.
You own a collective interest in that company. And then they make decisions with or without your consent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a major shareholder. The nice thing about owning your own place is that you have control over that.
Okay.
You make the payments, you're in control.
Sure. Here's a thought now. With the pandemic, I know it's been crazy hard on motels.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing motels getting demolished now, especially some of the older ones. How would this be for an idea? Buy up one of these motels and make it into a bunch of like single apartments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really big trend right now when you think about the availability of housing and the needs of the people who are using it. So that would target probably more young people or people who wanted to be independent but didn't want to have the burden of having a huge apartment to furnish or a bunch of extra fees. And then the other nice thing would be that you could have some type of situation where you still served a continental breakfast a couple days a week, or you still did some nice things for the tenants of the building, and you made them long-term leases, a year lease versus short-term leases. So those are some ideas that I think people can pursue and really build off of if they're entrepreneurial enough. Also, turning any type of, I guess, building, not just a hotel, but any type of commercial building, approaching your city leaders and asking them for variance if it could be turned into, you know, some type of combined use space where part of it turns into residential. Because we are missing more housing in our market, even. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see prices going up all the time in Grand Forks. Well, that's partly because we don't have enough available housing for people to buy.
Yeah, and you know, we see that happening a lot now in Grand Forks. I mean, mm-hmm. For example, downtown, look at the new Hugo's that's going up there. Living places above those. Now, I don't know, are those going to be rentable, or are those actually for sale, like townhouses or something like that? I'm not sure.
I'm not entirely sure. I know that there are going to be rentals for sure up there, but I don't know what is I don't know what specifically is going to be up there. But that is another example of what's going to really renovate our town, I believe, especially downtown areas. Having a grocery store that's walkable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can now, if you wanted to, live and work and shop all downtown. You do not have to do anything else downtown. If that's where your center is, you can be there. And that's what we all enjoy in Grand Forks anyway. You got to think about it. If you live over on South Washington here, you enjoy Hugo's pretty much right across
mm-hmm.
the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You live over by 32nd Avenue, you have a nice Hugo's down there. The really other place that's missing more of a grocery store, those type of things, are in the South End. But then there still are gas stations and other places that service those people. So,
and rumor has it there's another grocery store coming to the South End.
Yes, there is.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Yep. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that all folds out, of course, and how Grand Forks grows in that way. But it's great to see our older parts of town getting revitalized and getting that investment. And we should really be focusing in on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about your dad's lake place. What's going on there?
Well, my dad is a veteran of the National Guard, and he has always had, you know, an idea to do like a veterans campground out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things where when we were growing up, he had bought the original like 7 acres in this area, and we had stayed in an old 1970s style camper while my dad would clear out the land. So my mm-hmm. dad was not like a hunter fisherman type of guy.
Yep.
You know, we didn't really go on the lake a lot, but we were outside helping cut down trees, and we would go through it as kids and cut down all the small trees with mm-hmm. the little snippers. And, you know, we do that all summer to get the land cleared up so that he could, you know, start this. And then he ended up buying the cabin right next door. And that was before I became a realtor or anything. He bought mm-hmm. that when I was really young. And then it kind of went from, he wanted some more land in the back, and the person who was selling it wouldn't subdivide it.
Oh, okay.
So he had to buy basically another over 100 acres to get to get the rest of it.
Yeah.
And so at this point, you know, he's kind of looking at wanting to do the veterans campground and kind of get that started. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, when you look at people's experiences out at the lake, we talk about it all the time. Like, going to the lake is just part of our experience here in the Midwest.
It's what we do.
It's a great thing. I mean, going fishing, going hunting out in the woods, going anything outdoors is really what we're all about.
And you know, especially with the pandemic, more and more people are camping. But I don't know if it's still the same over in Minnesota, but I was very good friends with our resort owner. And they had, I don't know, I suppose 6 cabins and a little motel and all that. Well, then Minnesota changed their tax laws, so they made it so each one of those was like a home. And it basically ran them out of business. So now, all of a sudden, the market gets flooded with these you know, little cabins and stuff. And if you've ever, well, I know you being a realty expert, it's not cheap living on a lake in Minnesota.
Nope. And that's going to probably change in the future, too. I mean, we got to think about what's all happening, you know, beyond the bounds of realty in the real world. Is there's a lot of different factors that go into those decisions. And, you know, leadership might change. Opinions might change. Those things might change because people are going to realize that I think that, you know, investing in those type of things is not a bad thing if you're interested truly in conservation. I mean, number one, you're not doing anything to wreck the lake for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's just number one. I think we all can agree in the Teddy Roosevelt type of conservation where let's keep this for the next generation.
Yeah.
But if you're going to improve it and make it an enjoyable habitat for humanity, and I mean, basically, like, people can go there and rent things out and enjoy things with their family. That's a great deal. Yeah. I mean, that's a great thing to do. And it kind of goes beyond, like, if you're a good business owner and you want to do that, then you should be able to do that. And I think Minnesota should recognize that.
Absolutely, because not everybody can afford to buy a lake place. Not everybody can afford to buy a camper. But
right, and it should be affordable.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is it should be affordable. We have state parks. We have a lot of things going on that are great. But, you know, there's still a need for those type of private campgrounds, too. And there are people on the lake that I'm at, that it's Leak Lake down by Virgis, Minnesota, that they, you know, that they've been staying in the same cabins their whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, their parents rented it, now they rent it, or their grandparents rented it, their parents rented it, now they rent it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is an important thing that we keep those traditions alive.
Yeah.
That's literally what keeps our culture.
And that's what we used to do too. You'd go in there for a certain week during the summer, and then you would rent it that exact same week the next year, and you just kept doing that year after year after year. Now, is the tiny house thing, is that starting to be trendy here in Grand Forks now?
You know, it's a little bit more difficult in climates like ours to be able to do the tiny house thing effectively.
Mm-hmm.
What you really need to focus on is whether or not, where you're going to have it. I mean, really, where is this tiny house going to be? If you put the tiny house on a trailer park lot, they may or may not allow that. So you're going to have to really, you know, investigate into whether what the deal is with that. That's probably going to be your best bet. But then I was talking to somebody recently this weekend. I did the Grand Forks, the Forks Builders Association parade of homes. And I was at one of the homes, and somebody was saying that they live in a trailer park, and I think they pay like $575 now.
Well,
Which is, you know, considerably cheaper than sometimes a mortgage or rent, but it's really interesting to see how, you know, how people are willing to pay that much, really, for that, you know?
So,
and then,
So, like, the small house business, is it, like, more common in bigger cities or smaller cities?
I think it's more common more in the south, like just more in the warmer climates where it's like more available to do things outside. You got to think about it. If you hook up your tiny home anywhere here in Grand Forks, it absolutely has to be insulated and you cannot move it.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in the south and your average temperature in the winter is still only around 50 degrees and you don't have to worry about it freezing, you can keep moving it around.
Yeah.
You know, and so that really kind of impacts it. But I think what's going to get more popular is people buying plots of land and doing these tiny homes on there, or doing those type of things, and then doing their tiny home to save money and then building a house or something, something like that, you know?
Shouse.
So, the other thing that's been really popular are people moving to smaller towns. I mean, and when I say small towns, I'm talking about towns of less than 200, less than 100, where real estate is inexpensive. You can buy basically a 3-bedroom ranch style house for $20,000.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's also getting more popular. People are realizing that it's worth the drive. And if you have a spouse that works from home, or can work from anywhere, and really you're in the business of wanting to save money and really, you know, just kind of buckle down and do that, you can move to one of these smaller towns, renovate the homes, you know, live in it, and then your other spouse can get a job somewhere else. You know, so that's the other thing too, is that people are kind of realizing that, okay, well, maybe we can be a little more flexible now, realizing that prices are more competitive in these other areas.
Berkshire Ben, you showing a lot of houses right now?
Yeah, you know, it's been really wild. I think the market market is really, really competitive. I think we're seeing a less than 2 months of inventories, last I heard.
Okay.
I think that's what I heard at our last sales meeting, and that really just means that if houses stopped coming on the market today, in 2 months we'd run out of houses to sell.
Oh wow!
So that's how much inventory we have left. Normally, we're anywhere from like 3 to 5 months of inventory, depending on the time of year. So it is interesting to see how that's going to be impacted. I don't believe we're going to see a slowdown at all, probably till October 1, if even then.
Interest rates still down there, like 2.8 or something like that?
Yep, 2.8 to like 3.2 is kind of what I'm seeing, the FHA or the conventionals. So definitely check with your lenders. If you don't know any lenders or want to kind of get the relationship, and this is what I do with a lot of clients, is many clients I meet with and I kind of just talk to them about the process, and then, you know, I just make them feel comfortable with moving forward if they're comfortable with it. And then from there, we take it and run with it. So I've had many clients who we meet one summer and we kind of go over everything. We get them connected with the lender, get them all the lowdown on what they can afford. And then they decide, okay, well, maybe I want to wait. And then the next summer they decide to buy something because they decide that, okay, yep, I'm qualified now. I decided I wanted to make more money to buy a bigger house. Those are all important factors, and I can really help buyers kind of narrow down what they're looking for, which direction they want to go, and then help them get that done.
Okay. By the way, Bailey says good morning.
Hi, Bailey. Good morning.
How do we get a hold of Berkshire Ben Olson?
You can call me or text me directly, 701-318-2676, or you can reach out to me on my website, propertyandclient.com.
And we're going to be talking to you again on Friday morning.
We'll be here.
All right.
Right after the update.
All right. There you go. Berkshire Ben Olson, your Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcast. And you know what? If you buy a house from Berkshire Ben Olson, or maybe you want them to sell your house and you think it needs a little tweaking, get a hold of Executive Properties. They do all of it. Everything you need, whether it be kitchens, bathrooms, doors, siding, concrete, cabinets, trim and tile. Get that house ready to sell, or get the house you buy all done to your liking. Call them up, 701-330-1273, or go to executiveproperties.org. Well, there you go, your Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcast with your realty expert, Berkshire Ben Olson, and he'll be back Friday morning right here in the studios of Grand Forks Best Source.